We are up to Perek Tezayin. Is this on? Can you turn on the machine? The machine is off. We're up to Perek Tezayin. We're discussing the stone and Shomrayim. The sister, your mother, your sister. Okay, these are some complex pesukim. Let us review what we learned yesterday. Pasuk Mem Hei. Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Mem Hei. Very sharp criticism is being lodged against Klal Yisrael by Yecheskel in the name of Hashem, describing in detail our sins, our actions. So the Pasuk here says, Bas Imech At, you, again, we said yesterday, the story of the Jewish history can be summarized in two words, Ki Ima Bita. When we focus on the sins that we are guilty of and causing harm to ourselves, we have no one to blame but ourselves for all of the sorrows that we find ourselves in. It's summarized in two words, ki ima bita. Like a mother, so is the daughter. Who is the ima? So we learned, yes, all of Farshim are on the same page. It refers to the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan was occupied by the Canaanim before we came in and took over and drove them out, because Hashem told us that is what I want. I'm only giving them the land until a certain period of time. The reason why they deserve to be driven out was because they were guilty of doing the worst averos possible, which includes avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shfichas damim, and you name it. So here Hashem says, Bita. The Bita means the Jewish people who took over the land, who replaced the Canaanim. They continue to do the averos that were found in this makam. I wonder, there's a principle, a Kabbalistic principle. Milameit shahamakam goyim. You find this idea, you hear this idea in more in the Hasidic stories, but there's definitely something to it. There's no question about it. Is that a makom? The makom has an influence upon the people who live in that place. In other words, if you have a makom, you have a house, and this house it's a very holy tzaddik lived, and did very great chasadim, davened, did served Hashem with emuna, and then years later a person moves into that house. There's no question the person who moves into that house, into that makom, is influenced by the Kedusha that has been injected into the physical walls and environment of where that person lives. And just the opposite, if you live, there's a place, a makom, that is contaminated because on this makom, terrible averos took place, and 50 years later, 100 years later, a person moves into this house, into this location, and lives there, there is no question that he is influenced by the tumah that is in this makom. Rabbi Fischl Schachter, everyone here knows who Rabbi Fischl Schachter is. He tells an incredible story. It's just mind-boggling, the story that he basically gave many, many dafim, maybe even half of Shas. I don't have a Shas, but a very significant portion of Shas he actually taught Klal Yisrael. Where did he give his shiur? Where did he read? Now this goes back in the olden days before we have this high tech. It doesn't really make a difference. All these audio recording devices and sophisticated equipment. The way he gave his shiur was he had a tape, he had a cassette, a regular recorder. You know, you buy those big bulky recorders. He probably bought in the 80s, and you put in a blank tape, a 90-minute blank tape, and you press down the two buttons hard. Right, it's very hard to press down those two buttons with the red button, and you record the shiurim. And I think I remember him saying that it takes him 6 hours to record a 1 hour shiur. Because that's in addition to all the preparation that goes in advance into preparing the Daf Gemara. Just to say it on the tape took him 6 hours, because he would say a few words and then he would stop and realize it's no good. He would go back and do it again and say this sentence, say that sentence, in order to get it down perfect before you're dealing with all this high-tech recording equipment, just a regular cassette recorder. So where, he said that he needed to find in his home a place that was quiet. In those days, he had a lot of little children running around the house, and he needed a very quiet environment to record the Daf Gemara for Rabbi Teitelbaum, the Dial of Daf tape. So he found in his attic, he had
told the story recently.
Right. So let me tell the story for those who didn't hear the story. I'm sure there's some people who did not hear the story. It's an incredible story. So he went. He lived, I guess, in a two-story home. And then there's the old-fashioned type of attic where you let down. There's a little thing in the ceiling, and you unscrew this thing, and this like little staircase comes down, and you climb up in this little staircase, and there was a teeny little room on the third floor. He found that when he bought his house, and he would go up there, he would open up the ceiling, climb up in this little makeshift ladder into this little teeny storage area in the attic, sit down. It was quiet from his children and his wife, and he would sit there for 6 hours and record the shiurim. And he did that for a good part of Shas, for a significant number of Shas. He found out many, many years later, after he did this, is that the person who owned his home, before he purchased the home, were people who came from Europe. They were Jews, and they were not religious, but they had a father or a grandfather that came along with them from Europe, I guess before the war, or during the war, and he was a religious Orthodox, old-timer, traditional Jew. His children, fortunately, did not go in the ways of Hashem, but he was still, and Shabbos, he could not tolerate that his children were not Shomer Shabbos. So on Shabbos, this fellow, this grandfather, he found this secluded area in the attic. He opened up that little door, he went up there and he spent his entire Shabbos there, singing Zmirois, having a Suda Shabbos, and learning. He that's how he spent the Shabbos. And his children downstairs seemingly were not Shomer Shabbos, they were not observant, they did whatever they did. So it's amazing. And he found out this years later, after he already finished recording all of the Shiurim, that look at that, the Mokom where he said the Shiurim, which, you know, in those days, even today, thousands of people were influenced, learned Daf Yomi. I used to learn Daf Yomi too by listening to him. From those shiurim, where was it? Well, where was the Mokoim? The Mokoim was a Mokoim where a person was Moser Nefesh after seeing the Churban in Europe to come and be Shomer Shabbos in this Mokoim here when everyone else is not being Shomer Shabbos. He went against the tide and was Shomer Shabbos in this Mokoim. In that Mokoim was where Hashkocha Pratis, Rabbi Fischl Schachter, would say the Shiurim to teach a nice, significant segment of Klal Yisrael. What do you learn from this? Milamed Shehamokoim Goyim. You can't deny that it's not a Hashkocha Pratis that such a thing exists. They say that Rav Don Segel used to be the Mashkiach in Mir Yeshiva over here in Flatbush. This is before I was born. Long ago. He left, for whatever reason, he left Mir Yeshiva, he went to Eretz Yisrael. He became there a very big legend, a very holy person. So they call him the Mashkiach. He's a very holy person. People come to him for yeshuas, they come to talk to him, and he speaks, and he comes to America pretty often. Somehow he has this incredible sensitivity to Kedusha in a Mokoyim. And Rachmanel's people of Tsarist, he comes to their home, and he's mispalel in their home. And there are a lot of spooky stories where he has a sensitivity if a Mokoim has Kedusha or has Tumah. I remember one story I heard of Rav Shur mentioned is that someone needed a Yeshua, so he came to their home and he was Mispalel and he said, there's something here. I'm telling you, I sense a Kedusha here that is very, very special. And they made an investigation and they discovered that in the backyard of this place where he was brought in to be Mispalel was buried the Shemois from Mir Yeshiva that they took with them from Shanghai. Mir Yeshiva went from Europe, the entire trip, they went from Europe to Shanghai to the shuls that was built by Sassoon, v'chulu, and they came to America. So they over the time they were there in Shanghai, my grandfather was there with them. During that period of time, they had a lot of Shemos. They took it with them when they left. And that Shemos, someone buried in the backyard of this bias, and he was able, miraculously, to sense that Kedusha. Melamed shehamokoim gomen chas v'sholem. It's the other way around as well. If you have a mokoim, and that mokoim is a place where people once upon a time did terrible averos, it has an effect on the physical location. And when a person is trying to develop in Yirah Shemayim, somehow, we don't understand how these things work, supernaturally, the tumah, that has been injected into this makom is a problem. It is an obstacle in succeeding in achieving kedusha. So it's interesting over here. I always wondered about this. Eretz Yisrael, you really have that principle, because Eretz Yisrael is holy. Obviously, it's holy. It's a holy, holy land. It's a holy land. It's the place with Ashuras Ashchina. But who lived in Eretz Yisrael before we arrived on the scene? The Canaanim. Why were the Canaanim removed? Because of their abominations, the to'evos. The terrible things would be happening in Eretz Yisrael by the Canaanim. If we follow the basic rules, is that Melamed Chazal tells this principle? Melamed Shahamokim Goyim. Is that the ta'evas that were committed in this land injected the land with a degree of tuma, which was an obstacle in Klal Yisrael extracting the nitzaytzes of kedusha to be successful. It required more energy to overcome the difficulty of the tuma that was in the land because of what the Canaanim did to the land.
Is it permanent?
I don't know. These are supernatural things. Who knows how these things work?
If you come to people a kedusha for a long time, does it wipe out the earth?
I don't know. I have no idea how these things work. I mean, it's a big mystery to me. I don't know. It's a mystery. Look, they say people today, like they say, like, go in Eretz Yisrael to bells. In the area, go to the bells of Beis Medrash in Eretz Yisrael. They call the Beis Hamikdash. So you go there to the front, and they have there in a glass case the chair and the shtender from the Belzer Rebbe, who was a very holy person. I mean, today it looks like it's a joke. What it looks like, this little teeny chair and this little wobbly shtender. Why do they have it there? Obviously, there's something to it. There is melamed shahamokoyim garm. If this mokoyim, this place, was a place that was full of kedusha, that kedusha lingers on these objects and this mokoyim. The Chofetz Chaim, when, at the end of his life, he moved. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, so he sold his table. His table or a shtender. He asked him to have a desk, and a guy came and bought it, and he was taking it apart to use for firewood, to use for something, and the Chofetz Chaim was crying, and he said, "I can't believe what I'm seeing. This little table, an ordinary, simple little table. Do you know how much?" Amelus in Torah, in Tefillah, how much time I invested in HaKadosh Baruch Hu over when I was sitting on this table learning, davening in the middle of the night and doing all of these things. And now just a guy comes and takes this table and cuts it up into pieces and is going to take it away for firewood. It's very, very disturbing. I mean, it's just shocking. I know about my great-grandfather, the Reish Sharaf. He was running away from the Nazis and the Ukrainians, and they caught him at one point in time. He was caught, and they imprisoned him in the Chofetz Chaim's house. The Chofetz Chaim's house was converted into a makeshift jail or detention place. It was a teeny little house. It wasn't very, very big, obviously, but somehow Radin, I don't know all the details, how the Nazis, the Ukrainians, they got hold, they were there. And the people that were running away, they caught them, they were put there. So my grandfather, he was there, he was locked up in the Chofetz Chaim's house for a short period of time. What was the hashgacha? Who knows? I have no idea whether my grandfather had a correspondence with the Chofetz Chaim. Obviously, they had correspondence, the Knesset HaGedolah. The Chofetz Chaim, in fact, did not want my grandfather to speak. Now, the Knesset HaGedolah, there was a mission to go to the government, to speak to the government, I think, on behalf of Limudei Chol. They wanted to force all of the yeshivos to learn Limudei Chol. And they were very against it. The Aguda, this is the old Aguda. Aguda today is almost nothing to do with the old Aguda. The Aguda in those days, they were very, very against this. They was being forced upon them, Limudei Chol, and they needed someone to speak to the government. And my grandfather was fluent in Polish and maybe other languages. I don't know all the details. And the original plan was for him to go. And the Chofetz Chaim didn't want. He wanted someone to go, Adrab, who did not know how to speak the language. Someone should go and speak in Yiddish. Whatever. I don't know all the details. But it's interesting, the Chofetz Chaim, my grandfather, did have some correspondence. And it's Hashkocha, Melamed Shahamokoyim Gorim. in his escape, he didn't survive. He was killed. He was eventually caught by the Ukrainians and was tortured to death. But as he escaped from Poland, from Reisha, he passed through Radin and was locked up in the house of the Chofetz Chaim. Is that not Hashkocha? Is there not something going on over here? I have no idea. But you definitely see this principle over and over of Melamed Shehamokoyim Goyim. And that, to some degree, here is being presented here in these Pesukim. Ki Ima Bita. Klal Yisrael has been criticized. You have committed the worst possible averos. And the historians, or as the Pasuk says, Hine kol hamoshel olayich, all those that in the future will come and write proverbs, Mishalim, will say about you, oh, it's no surprise, ki ima bita, like the mother, so is the daughter. Where did the Jewish people learn how to do all of these averos? It's because they came into the land of Canaan, and in Canaan is where they found the manuals, they found the museums, they found all the old idols and Avodah Zarah, and they just copied what they saw there. It's deeper than that. It's not just they went to a museum and they read what they did, so let's also copy. There is some type of supernatural tumah that is injected in a makom which definitely has an effect on the people who come later on and live in this place. There's a certain siyata d'shmaya. Look, I'll take this off the record, okay? No one get into trouble here. The whole America is stolen land. Don't go tell me it's not stolen land. This land was occupied by the Indians. Right, so who are we to go take away? The only place in America that it's legal is the island of Manhattan. That was purchased for how much? I think $8? How much?
$24.
Haloi davar. This is the only place in the entire America that was acquired fair and square. Fair and square. And Manhattan.
Indians would say that.
They wouldn't say that. Even that was slow, right?
$24, that was worth it.
That's hindsight.
It was beast.
So you can't deny this principle of melamed shehamokoyim goyim. The shirashim of everything is there's something supernatural, and to a certain degree that is being presented here in these psukim. Those already we pasuk mem hei. Again, it's parak tazayin pasuk mem hei. What? I turned it back on. When I spoke about Manhattan, I turned it back on.
So what was wrong?
Don't worry, no one's listening anyway. Believe me.
What was wrong with being near Borshima?
Nothing is wrong. It's just interesting. It's when you believe, when you take these Mamar Chazal very seriously, you know, there's something there. You know, you have to, there's something to it. Let's go for the Bas Imech. So Pascal Yopamembe says Bas Imech At Go Elis Isha Uvonecha. We're not going to go, we're really learning the Mefarshim. We only did yesterday the Mitzudot style. Let's read the Pasuk again. That over here, the Yechez will criticize Klai Yisrael by saying that you are the daughter of your mother, who is Goelis Yisho Vonecha. And you're just like your mother drove out your husband. Isha means your husband, Uvonecha and her children. So to you, the daughter also drove out your husband and your children. That means your husband refers to Hashem. You deny the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and your children means your children have gone into exile due to your sins. Just like the Canaanim did not believe in God, and therefore they were driven out of the land, so too the Jewish people also denied Hashem's existence, and that's why they were driven out of Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Korban. Furthermore, V'achos Achoseichat, you are the sister of your sister. This refers to Sidon, Asher Goalu Anshehen Uvenehen, whose men and children were driven out, they were destroyed, they were obliterated, the people of Sodom, Uvrechem, and that so too, you will suffer the same fate, the daughter will suffer the same fate of Sodom, and you will also be driven out of the land. Imchen Chitis, this we had before, your mother appears, the way you behave appears that you're selecting your Yichus, you're tracing your Yichus back to the nation of Chetz, which was one of the Canaan nations which did terrible averos, Vavichen Emori, and you're tracing your Yichus back to your father, back to the Emoriim, which seemingly means, according to some of the Farshim, that Avraham and Sarah had roots in the nation of Ches, and Avraham somehow had roots in the nation of Emori, and although they have completely re-engineered their DNA, and removed any molecule, any gene, okay, like you think they were way ahead of our time today, they do this always in the news today. They got a license to have a child made from three parents. Did you read about this?
Yeah.
A license was granted by the United States to a clinic. They can now create a child that has three parents, genes from three different people, in order to make a child. So Hashem was way ahead of his time. So here, the pasuk over here says is that indeed the truth is Abraham came from Emori. I don't know what that means exactly.
I don't understand any of that, since whatever. He doesn't come from that region. She doesn't come from that region.
Okay, I don't know, but this, some of the Farshim seem to be saying this. I don't. Are you right? But they remove those genes due to the bris that Hashem made with Abraham and Sarah. Kavi Yochel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu extracted those imperfect genes of Emori and Ches, and we are a new nation apart. However, due to our behavior of the children of the descendants of Avraham and Amori, it's as if we are rewriting history and saying, no, there was no re-engineering of their genes, and we indeed do come from Ches, we do indeed come from Amori, and that's why we have a natural disposition to do what the Chitim and the Amorim do. And the proof is in the pudding. Look what Klal Yisrael indeed have done throughout all the generations. They've done Avodah Zarah just like the Chitim and the Amorim. Rabbi Chol is saying something, don't go that far to say that Avraham and Sarah came from the Ches and Amori. Cannot possibly be. It just means their behavior, the way you behave, in you're trying to rewrite history as if your father and your mother came from Ches, but but it's not really, there's no, absolutely no truth. It's fake news. There's absolutely no truth in this whatsoever. Okay, let's again see the Mitsudo Stavid Pasuk Mem Hei. Mem Hei says, Mitsudo Stavid, Bas Imech At, B'masayich At Nikedesh She'ata Bas Imech. Through your actions, it appears that you indeed are the daughter of your mother, Asher Hekia Es Isho Ubonecha. Your mother was responsible for the driving out. Hekia means to vomit, to the expulsion of her husband and her children. What is the husband? And who is the husband? So in this context, it means, I told you it means Hashem. I made a mistake. It means they're kings. The nation of the Canaanim, they due to their sins, their kings were conquered by Yehoshua. The 31 kings of Canaan were conquered by Yehoshua. That's the Isha. That's her husband, the king. Hey, Malcolm, the Yeser, I'm and the citizens. You, the Jewish people who have taken over Eretz Yisrael, are similar in your deeds. Due to their sins, Golem and Oretz, Kmo Shenemar, Vataki, Haoretz, Es Yoshvecha, the land vomited out, spit out Yoshvecha, their inhabitants. Next part of the Pasuk, Vachos Achosich, at you also, due to your deeds, you appear to be the sister of your sister. Who is the sister of your sister? These are the Sodomim. The people of Sodom, b'masech at nikeresh at achos achosech, v'hi's Sodom, uvenosecha, and her suburbs, asher ba'avonim, and their sins, heki an shehenu b'nehem, ki sofet hamu, they were completely obliterated. Imchem chitis, your mother, from your behavior, it appears as if you are saying that your mother is from Ches, b'toav asayif, nire ki ilu imchem choysa b'vnos Ches. It's not to be taken...
Not literally,
but it's also, they can't ignore the fact that who was the first one to be buried in the Ma'ara Samachpelah? Sarah. And who did the Ma'ara Samachpelah belong to? Ches. B'nei Ches. What's the Pasuk? I don't remember the Pasuk, but it's clear as day, it's B'nei Ches. So it's interesting, why, if someone would not know, if someone would speculate, why did Avraham purchase specifically the Ma'ara Samachpelah? So we know, because the Ma'aras Machpelah is jam-packed with Kedusha, it's a twin to Yerushalayim. We can quote Mamar Chazal from today until tomorrow, all about the Kedusha of the Ma'aras Machpelah. But a person who has no background and no emuna in Hashem will say, oh, very simple. You know why Avraham traveled from the Akedah to buy the land, of to pay $3 million. How many shekels? It says there, how many? 400, what? 400 shekel kasef, oiver la soicher, which I saw in the sefer, someone made a calculation, and it's approximately, today's terms, $3 million. Why would Avraham spend $3 million on a plot of land for a kever? Even today, in the Har HaZeis, it doesn't cost $3 million. Okay?
But a house and plot would cost.
So you're saying that's a grave? Okay, good idea, good point. $3 million. Why? Because that's where she comes from. Sarah is B'nei Ches. Sarah is a descendant. Her family comes from the Chittim, so therefore it's appropriate that she should be buried in her ancestral land. Right? Isn't that very logical? So Eina Hanami, by us behaving in a detestable way and committing to'evos, so we're basically saying that's right. The reason why we have to investigate, where do we come from? We come from Sari Menu. And Sari Menu, look, where was she buried? She was buried in Maris Machpelah. Avram paid $3 million. It must be because that's where she came from. Oh, that explains everything. Because the Chitim were Bale Haiva, Bale Avera, Bale Toeva. Mimela, that's why the genes, trickle down all the way to us. That's maybe a makar as why we're referring to our mother as Binos Ches. Now, Avraham is more complex. I don't know why Avraham. This is much more we learned before. It's not the first time we came across this. Avraham being traced to Bnei Emori, I don't know. Ki Bnei Ches, as I think, is a very good makar from Maris Machpelah. That's really good. That's really solid. I mean, that's why he's returning to where she came from. That would be. But why Avraham should we trace him to Emori? It's a mystery to me. I'm sure we look hard enough, maybe we'll find some makar. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Mem Hei says Basi Mech Uma Shel Kenan, the nation of Kenan, Asher Yirashtemes are some you possessed, you inherited their land. Goelis Isha Ubonecha, the Kenanim drove out the people of Kenan who were responsible for the driving out of their own king. Their sins brought it upon them and their citizens. Asher Hirbu Toy Avosam. They increased their abominations, ad ki goalo, till they rejected, due to their sins they rejected, vehekia ha'aretz es yoshvecha, the earth rejected their inhabitants, ha'ovois vehabonim yachad. So notice that Rashi is not like the Mitzudos, where he learns the word isha as a code word for the parents, the adults, and ubonecha are the children. Whereas the Mitzudos understands the word Isha as a code word for the king, and Uvonecha as a code word for the citizens. Next, V'achos achosech, the sister of your sister, Sidom, Hasmucha li'eretz Yisrael, this is Sidom, that we said, okay, Imchem chitis, Tirgim yonason halo imchoin Sarah b'nei chitoei havas. Sarah lived. The Targum is giving us an interpretation. She did not genetically come from, biologically come from Ches, but she lived. That's where she lived, among the daughters of the Ches. The law avodas ke'ovodehon did not do like their sins. Also notice that when Sarah, she said, well, that's really Rivka, it goes down another generation, Rivka said to Yitzchak, katzti b'chayai mipnei binos Ches. So that's not Sarah. That's another generation. But you do see that the Avos, they lived. They did live. They were very familiar with the people, the daughters of Ches. Vavuchon Avraham dene Emoroe. Avraham lived among the Emoriim. V'lo halich be'etzashon, and did not follow in their ways. But the fact that you are behaving in such a manner, you're trying to rewrite history. You're trying to say that's why you behave this way, is because you come from them. Let's see the Radak. Radak Pasuk Mem Hei says, "Bas imechat sha'at doimel lo b'masecha ad sheyomu alaych bas imahi." You're just like your mother. Uchmoy she goalohi isha ubonecha kmoy she kasuv kasher koa es hagoya sher lifneichem. Just like you drove out the goya sher lifneichem, the yigil haki inyinecha. The word giul and the word haki are two synonyms. Same thing. The isha ubonecha moshel al hamelch va'am derech prat. The nation is the group. We find this idea, these expressions, these words, also in reference to Yerushalayim. You, in your behavior, appear to be the sister of your sister. Who is the sister of your? Who is the sister? Sodom. You are the sister of your sister. Your deeds are similar to their deeds. You committed violence, abominations. The reason why we call Sodom a sister is because they were neighbors. Geographically, they were near Yerushal, near Eretz Yisrael. The Amar Goalu, Loshen Rabim, Al Sodom, the Amora, Loshen Rabim, all of the suburbs. The Amar Chosech, Der Chlal, Gam Sodom, Lohaya Iker Hamalucha. Okay, your sister Sodom was the Iker, but there were four other suburbs. Anshehen, Ubnehen, Malkehen, their kings, Yamam, Bechol Hayikum, Ashabam, Ki Nebchol, Laharetz, the earth was overthrown, was completely obliterated. Imchem Chitis, Ravichen, Emari, Yidmel, Lemasechem, Ki Imchem Hoysa Chitis, Ravichen, Hoysa Emari, Shasisen, Kimasehem. You have behaved v'loy chayin, but it's not. So here he wants to point out, but it's not really true. This is not a fake statement. This is not a real statement because the truth is your father is Ella imchen v'avichen hayu tzadikim, Abraham v'Sara, Yitzchak v'Rivka, Yaakov v'Nashav. V'loy lemadaten ma'aseh ma'atavim. You did not learn from your good deeds. Ella lemadaten ma'aseh haaretz, from the earth, asher bos and bot, from the land which you're living on. Ki'ilu, as if imchen v'avichen hayu emari v'chitis. U'shar umos, the other nations of Canaan, ha'heim yoshvei haaretz. Okay, so this is the Radak. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Mem Vav. Now here we are going further. Now let me give you a little bit of background before we go further. Over here, the next two pasukim are coming to compare Yerushalayim to Sodom and Shomrayim, meaning the Aseres Hashvatim. And the pasukim over here, the pasuk over here is coming to emphasize that the sins of Yerushalayim far surpassed the sins of Sodom and the sins of the Aseres Hashvatim. In which way? Sodom was only guilty of averos ben Adam lachaveroi. Sodom was not guilty of any avera ben Adam lamakom, either because they believed in God, maybe, doesn't really tell us much information about that, or even if they were avodah zarah, they're not commanded. They were not mitzuveh on avodah zarah. You'll ask me, but it's one of the Sheva mitzvah b'nei Noach.
Not just that.
Yeah.
Describes Sodom as Ra'im
v'Chato'im.
Doesn't Rashi say
La Hashem Od? Mr. La Hashem?
Yeah. Does it say Lamakom and Labrios?
Okay, so we have to go slow and see exactly what it says in the Mefarshim. But even though it's true, obviously, there's no such thing as being Ra, doing an Avera, Ben Adam Lachavero, that does not also include Ben Adam Lamakom. And there's no such thing as being Ra, Ben Adam Lamakom, when you're not also evil, Ben Adam Lachavero. They're two sides of one coin. However, there is an emphasis. There is an emphasis on one and not the other. Sodom, granted, it has to be they're guilty to Hashem as well. But the emphasis, the gezar din on Sodom was due to their corruption bein Adam lachaveray. Shomrayim was guilty bein Adam lamakom avodah zarah. The primary sin of Shomrayim was not. The Aseres Hashvatim was not bin Adam Lachaveiro, it was primarily bin Adam Lamokhan. Yerushalayim was so corrupt, they incorporated both. They were sinners bin Adam Lachaveiro, and they were sinners bin Adam Lamokhan, and plus, the degree was far surpassed the quantity and quality of sin that was found by Sodom and by the Aseres Hashvatim. So that's what this pasuk of is leading up. It's going to go very, very slow. We're first going to say Yerushalayim. Here you are. I'm going to destroy Yerushalayim. I'm going to bring the korban. Yerushalayim, it's chaval that you couldn't hold yourself back from doing averos. Your sins are greater than the sins of Sodom. Number two, your sins are also greater than the sins of the Aseres Hashvatim. And not only that, the degree and the quantity and the quality is also much greater, and therefore I have no choice but to destroy it. So we go through these different stages one at a time. So here Pasuk Memvav says, V'achaseh ha-gedol, your older sister. Who is your older sister? This refers to the Aseres Hashvatim. Shomrayim was the capital. It's like Yerushalayim, just like Yerushalayim is the capital of Yehuda and Binyamin. Shomrayim was the capital of the Aseres Hashvatim. Uvinoseha, and her citizens, Hayosheves al Simoleh, who live on your left side. This means that they were to the left. They were, I guess, to the west of of, if you're looking up north, so I guess you would say looking up north, so I guess you would say they were to the west of Yerushalayim. V'achosei chaketana mimeich, and your younger sister, which means they existed way before you even entered into the land, mimeich, hayosheves, it's called ketana, they're smaller, meaning smaller in stature, they're not Jews, hayosheves mimineich, which is on your right side, who is whom is Sedom, uvinosecha, and her suburbs. Let's see the mitzvah of Pasuk Membo. Okay, the psukim here are building up. Each pasuk is by itself is not a complete thought. You have to combine many psukim together in order to bring out the idea that we're trying to express. So the first pasuk Membov says, "Avosecha hakadoyla." Pasuk Membov in the Mitzvah of David. "Aviachosech v'hinei achosech shomrein hakadoyla mimeich deribay shvatim." Your older sister, meaning there were 10 shvatim, you only have 2 shvatim. The uch lusin and in number in population. He Yosheves Bismaleich, it lives on the left side, the Pas Safin, on the north. Okay, so I made a mistake. I told you, so therefore I guess we're facing, which way are we facing?
East.
Okay, we're facing east. Okay, we're all brainwashed. We're brainwashed by modern day maps where they put north on the top.
Right,
but ancient maps, the top is east.
Well, it's not just that. It's like you have in the Mishkan.
Based on English, right. But there it's not, there it's the west. They're interesting. You look at every model.
Everything faces east.
No, every model of the base Hamigdash faces west.
But in terms of direction, in terms of north south.
Yeah. North south,
right,
no. All
right.
Of them. Okay, I don't know. You look at a model of the base Hamigdash. B'li Yotzei Min HaKlal, every model is always, the top of the page is always west.
Nevertheless, the usual, I think it's in.
Okay.
Are,
so, but when you on a map, an ancient map would have on the top east. Every map that we look at in modern times, on the top is north.
Right.
Every model we look at the base Hamidrash, on the top is west. But when you look at an ancient map of territory, at least time from the time of Chazal, so the top of the page is east. So therefore, if the top of the page is east, so when you want to say to the left. The left is then going to be the
north
left is going to be north.
Right.
Okay, so that's what it says over here. So the northern part of Eretz Yisrael was inhabited by the Aseres HaShvatim, which is absolutely true. Okay, back in the Mitzudos, Pasuk Mem Vav. They have a small population. Okay, that's where Sodom. They never knew that. Sodom. You always wonder where is Sodom and Amorah? Where exactly were the ancient cities of Sodom and Amorah? They were overturned. So it's, I guess, like on the southern. The Yam Melch is not necessarily Sodom. He Nitziv Melch, that's where they traveled. Not necessarily that's where Sodom is. That they already were traveling. She was told, don't look back. And he Nitziv Melch. Does that mean that's where Sodom was? Well, the Yam Melch is not really south. Is it really south of Yerushalayim? The Yam Melch? I don't know. It's east, right? But is it also south? I don't know. He Yosheves Bepas Hadoroim. It's in the southern side. Right? The Imkain Ata the Emtzo Isan. You are in the center. Sedom Liyamin V'Shemrain Lismo. When you're facing east, so Sedom is going to be to your right, and Shemrain is going to be to your left, up north. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Mem Vav. Rashi Memvav says Al Smolech Lefi Shenachlas Yehuda Begvul Droimi Shel Eretz Yisrael Haya. Since the Yehuda was on the southern portion, Nimsu Kol Shar Shvatim Al Smolam, which is the north. We know that Yehuda and Binyamin they were down south. Memela, everyone else is up north. At least the Aseres Hashvatim. Radak Pasuk Memvav. V'achoseich Hagadolah Ratzolam Hagadolah Mimech Ki B'Malchus Shemron Chayu Aseres Hashvatim, and you only had 2 Shvatim. Everyone else was in the north. Next pasuk, pasuk mem zayin. The pasuk says, "V'loy bedar chehen holacht." You did not go in their ways. In other words, halavai, you should have gone only in their ways. If you wanted to do an avera, if only you would have limited yourself to the same sins of Shemrain. Of the Aseres HaShvatim, but you did not. You outdid them. You exceeded them. V'loy b'darcheihen holacht. Uche soy avoyseihen osis. Why? It was kime'ot, kime'at kot. Now these two words have to be read together. It's an expression which means it was too little. It was too small. And these words, they mean exactly the same thing. Ma'at means small. And kot comes from the word koton. Like the nun is not really part of the shayrish. The nun is not really adding nun. And nun, it emphasizes, represents the concept of miniaturization. Take the nun at the end, you make it mirror, so koton. But here we have the word in its original form. Kima'at, small, kot, which means small, two words together, which means very, very small. The sins of the Aseres HaShvatim in your eyes were little, were small, were insignificant, and therefore you felt it necessary to outdo them by rebelling against Hashem in a much more significant way. That's why, Vatishchisi Mehen, you acted corruptly more than then, and behold, Derechoich in all of your ways. So let's see the mitzudo stavet pasuk mem zayin. The loy written loymar loy lamat mehen. You did not learn from them. Loy halach b'darcheihen. Loy osis ra kishiur toy avoy sehen. You did not learn from them. There's something to learn. Interesting. If you want to take this pasuk more a midrash, more a drush, a homiletic interpretation is sometimes there's something to learn from evil. You see an evil person and you can learn something from him. What is the most important thing you can learn from an evil man, from a rasha?
Not to do
anything. No, okay, right, exactly, because he's a person. But there's a limit to how far he goes. Okay, many wicked people, there's a limit. I'm willing to do this and this, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to use chemical weapons. I'm not going to do unconventional. I'm not going to do, you know, use your imagination. Oh, so this rasha, who will suffer and pay the price of his horrible crimes, who has brought pain and suffering to the world, at least there's something to learn from him. There's a limit to how far he'll go. And that's exactly what the pasuk here is saying, according to the Mitzudos. You should have learned from your older sister, the Ten Shvatim. There was a limit to how far they would go in rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you didn't. You learned from them to do evil, and you far outdid them. In your eyes, was kishur me'at v'katan l'mulech. They only did the shir of Chaim Noah. Right? You, when you did an avera, you had to do the avera with the shir of Chazanish. Chaim Noah is always the smaller shir. Right? Chaim Noah is always like, you go buy a lulav and the hadassim.
They are now selling becherim. According to the
Shira of Chaim Noah. I knew the ankle of Chaim Noah. And he was always so insulted. He was so insulted. He would go to buy a hadassim. Oh, this is like this is like puzzle. It's a Shira of Chaim Noah. You have to buy the Shira of Chazanish. Buy the Shira of Chazanish and everything. Like, what kind of baloney is this? Rav Chaim Noah is this is the shir. The shir of the Chazanish is way overblown, all totally off the charts. There's no need to go in extreme chumras of the and even who says the Chazanish himself said this? Chazanish did this, but that's the problem. The problem over here is they went to the extreme. Jews by nature are extremists.
Of course they do.
What?
Yeah, of course.
That's our nature. We are extremists.
I think I once said this. Says that the Jews are like the little girl with the curl, which is when they were good, they were very, very good, and when they were bad, they were horrid.
They go to the extreme. So it says over here that they did not, it was too kishir me'at v'katan limulech relative to you, aval hishchat. You went to an extreme. Rashi pasuk mem zayin. Okay, that's a nice Jewish word that we like to use today. Well, there's certain words that somehow crept into our vocabulary they can't get out. Like the Jewish words, halavai, skedai, right? What? Certain words that, like, you talk to someone who's not part of our circles, right? You go talk to a more modern Orthodox person. You say halavai. Kedai, they look at you like, what kind of language are you talking about?
There's no single English word that can
capture these expressions. Okay.
Is there an English word for halakha?
If only. If only. If only. Kedai means it's worthy. You can always say yeshiva or say it's kedai, it's kedai, it's kedai. It's true, it's a Hebrew word, but it's not very refined. Rashi used it a long time, and halavai also. The halavai, if only bedarchehen holacht, if you would have gone in their ways, v'loi his aft yoytzemim, you would have not have committed abominations more than them. V'chein v'loi yutan no le'avdech, if only, same meaning over here in that expression, v'chein v'loi im oideni choy, if only the hoinason. All these expressions, v'loim, v'lo, when you have the word v'lo with the word im, or even in our context, we don't have the word im, we have v'lo, it is an expression which means if only. Kime'at kot, hoyu toyavo saich lefonai ki ilu loy his avat mehen, you did not commit an abomination because it was very, very small. It was too small in your eyes what they have done, your older sister did. Aval at, but you vatishchisi mehen v'chein tikin v'nesan v'yesh, you did more than them, much more. V'yesh poistrin v'loi b'darchehen holacht kim ashmo, kim at kot hoyu toyavo sehen de'inayich vatishchisi mehen. I'm not sure how the difference between these two interpretations. Hoyu toyavo sehen l'fanai ki ilo hisavat yoyser mehen. The basic idea over here is similar, the very fine nuance between the two different interpretations. The basic idea over here is that you in your eyes, you had to outdo. That is human nature by Jews. You always have to outdo your friend, both for good and achmana l'tzlan for bad. You got to outdo. I can. One what?
One upmanship. One upmanship.
Upmanship?
Yeah, should be one up on something.
One up, so it's short. Up is short for upmanship.
Upmanship.
It's a fancy word. I know that word.
Another person by one step. You know.
One step. Okay. Let's see. Radak. Radak pasuk mem zayin v'loy vidarchehen olacht ela ramehen. You were more evil. Uchet soy avosehen asis v'loy ke soy avosehen ela ramehen. You were even more evil. Kimat kot v'tishchisim hen me'at kot ziman amadet achar god. Now here we have a drush. From the Radak. Radak is telling us kim'at kot does not mean small in number and quality of sin. Kim'at kot he interprets to mean in time. I remember, we go back to the beginning of Yecheskel, we had where Yecheskel was instructed to lie on his side for 430 days. 390 of those days corresponded to the Aseres HaShvatim. And even though the Aseret HaShvatim did not begin until a much later point in time, but it means the big Klal Yisrael, and Yehuda and Binyamin was 30 days. Which means Yehuda and Binyamin only angered Hashem for 30 years, relative to the Aseret HaShvatim, whom Yechezkel, the Pasuk records, Ki'ilu, they angered Hashem for 390 years. So if you have a mathematician, you can make the percentage of how the difference is, and that's exactly what it's over here, that's how the Radak over here is learning, is that Hashem is complaining to you in a very short amount of time, 30 years, relative to 390 years, you caught up. You caught up, and you did as many averos plus more in that short amount of time. Record speed in angering Hashem. It's a reference to time. Kimat kot. Ma'at kot zman, a small amount of time. Amad achar golus shaymon, did you exist after the golus of shaymon? Vatishchisi mehen, you were more evil than them. Bistom mishaymon. Now he explains. Ki golus shaymon haya b'shnas sheish lechizkiyo. V'nisharu b'malchusoy eshem mishalim. There were 23 years left in his malchus. He was king for. Chizkiyo was king for 29 years. So there was still 23 years left. Umalach Menashe ben Achrav, v'Yeshia mikol asher lefanav, v'zeo me'at kot. He was king for how many years? I think 55 years. So we have 55 years, and plus another 23, which is 78. Right, is that correct? We have 78 years. She'amar eshim v'sholosh shana, eile, these 23 years, kot k'mo. Fine. So that's what it means. It means it was a short amount of time which you succeed in angering Hashem relative to the long period of time that the Aseres HaShvatim angered
but
Hashem.
They didn't believe in Hashem. They just ignored its rules.
They right, but still, that's a rebellion.
They didn't say, I don't believe in Hashem.
Well, there are different tikufos. Seemingly you're right. They believed in Hashem, but they still also wanted to worship other idols. They also wanted to benefit from other gods. In Hanami. Kot is kemo me'at, v'nichbal b'miloy shaynois, l'ma'et yoyser. We have over here two words which mean exactly the same thing, and the repetition over here is to emphasize to miniature to mean it's very, very small. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk over here says pasuk mem ches chai oni nu'um Hashem Elokim. Hashem makes a shvua im osisa sedom achoseichi uvinoseha kasher osis at uvinoseich. Now im over here means did not. It means did I swear that they, Sodom v'Amor, did not come anywhere near the degree of sin that you have done. Let's see the Mitzudo Stav, Pasek Memches. Im Asa, Kol Kach Mi HaTo'evos, they did not come near to your abominations. That's all he says, Rashi, Pasek Memches, there is no Rashi on Pasek Memches. Let's see the Radak. Radak says, Chai Oni Im Asa, so Ki Heim, Loi heimiru Elohehem. They did not deny their God. The at heimarta kivoydech, your honor, Hashem, below you for something which has no benefit. The afshar ki gam b'masim ro'im hishchisa mimena, in your evil deeds, when other lachaver, you're evil than them. So here we have an amazing radak. Okay, this is something which is not clear in Chumash, and it's telling us that Sodom was not guilty of denying. I don't really know what it means. Lohimir Elohehem. They had a God. Does that mean who is their God? Hashem? Or they had a different God? It's not really clear what it means, but they were consistent. They did not waver. They did not go and waver from their ideology, which itself is a very big mila. I told you this story a few times. Someone was once, I had a friend that was involved in a shidduch many, many years ago. I don't remember the details. He either went out with both of them, didn't go out. One was a person who was a balas shuva, that he was exceptional. And then there was another person who was a regular person, wasn't as exceptional, a very, very fine person that came from a very fine family. And he was wavering between the two. Now, no one should get insulted. I don't mean this. It's going to come out the wrong way. I already have charot that I'm saying this, because you have to know the context. You have to know the context is that this person that was a Baal Teshuva was a little bit, wasn't just on Baal Teshuva, was a very wild person. It was a very wild person who experimented with a lot of different things before they finally came to where they are, being recognized as a very good person. But before they came to this, they went through a lot of experimentation, meaning use your imagination what that means. They tried out a lot of things until they finally settled down, like Yisra, right? Yisra. I don't mean this in the wrong way, so don't be insulted, because I don't mean this in the wrong way. And then there was someone else, and he went to a chacham to ask him advice. So he said to him, it could very well be that this person that is Baal Teshuva or whatever it is, that's your basheret, and that's who you should marry, and you should pursue it to the end of the world. I always want to tell you something. You have to be careful. Because a person who grew up in an environment, parents, they put them in a certain yeshiva, and they developed into what they were trained to be, that is a healthy sign. You may not like their hashkafa. Okay, you don't like Satmar Hasidim, you may not like a Lubavitch, you may not like a Lutav Shah, you may not like this Magna Orthodox, whatever. But look, this person was born to parents who are members of this society. They were put in schools that represent their hashkafa, and the child is exactly what the parents wanted to make out of the child. The child developed in the way that he was taught, he was trained, and he was raised. The other person was not put in that environment. He was put in a very different environment. And he rebelled. And he went here. And then he didn't like that, so he rebelled and he went here. And then he rebelled and he went here. And he rebelled and he went here. That's dangerous. That is a sign of instability. It's not necessarily, maybe it's very good. Maybe the person is a very honest, a person who did some soul searching, and is the integrity is infinitely greater than the other person. But you have to step back and pause and just investigate that when a person vacillates and moves around from one thing to the next, is that for healthy reasons? Because the person is has made a cheshbon hanefesh, or it's unfortunately it's a sign of instability. So that's a very tough question. That's something which has to be addressed. And I don't chashol mean this in the wrong way at all. Here, that's exactly what the pasuk is saying with regard to Sodom. Sodom has gods; they have a god, but they're stable. They believe in their god from beginning to end. Whether their god is Sheker, whether their god is Emes, whatever it is, they are stable. You, Klal Yisrael, you're crazy. You vacillate. One day it's this god, next day it's that god, then you go back to Hashem, then you go here, you go there. What's going on with you? If be at least like Sodom, Sodom at least is stable. Pachas kamayim al toisa. And this is a very dangerous midah where Sodom, Klal Yisrael, Hashem is criticizing Klal Yisrael. You're not even like Sodom. Ki heim lohim mirah Elohim. They did not exchange their god for another god. Ve'at, but you, himart kivodech b'lo yoel. You went and you have himart. You have exchanged your god for another god that has no benefit.
It's like having respect for a good Christian.
That's right. Exactly. 100%. 100%. They're loyal to absolutely. Absolutely, even for a good Muslim, someone that is loyal to their faith and is stable, absolutely, this is what they've been trained, this is their belief. The Rambam praises Christianity, the whole Rambam, who talks about certain milos that he saw in Christianity. And they believe in God, monotheism. Okay, they're mistaken in certain areas, we don't share their hashkafa, but you know, if you're true to your faith, that is a milah, that is an attribute. And that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is criticizing Klal Yisrael. They're better than you. Sodom, that was obliterated, is better than you because at least they're stable, they're faithful. Let us see what it says. We have still some time. Let's look at Pasuk Mem Tes. And here we go on to describe in detail exactly what was the sin of Sodom. It was purely Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. It was not Ben Adam L'Mokoyim. What was there? Sinhine, Zehoya Avoin Sidoim Akhois. This is an amazing pasuk, because here the pasuk explicitly tells us what their sin was. Gaon Sivas Lechem, it was the pride of being satisfied with bread. In other words, Vayishmun Yeshurun Vayivat, the satisfaction of complacency. Vishalvas Hashkeit Hoyulah, two words which mean the same thing. There was tranquility, there was peace. It was to her. Viliv Noisech and her suburbs. And yet, the yad oni the evyon lo hechzika, they did not want to support the poor, that they're and the evyon. Now, this is very interesting. Very nogea. I already saw articles. I didn't read the articles. People talking about Trump's policy of immigration. Okay, well, let's just first read the mefarshim. What exactly their sin was? Fascinating. Fascinating. Mar Chazal here. Let's see. Mem Tes and the Mesudos Stavit. And the Mesudos Stavit begins by telling us, "Hine zeh return loy mazel levad hoyavoin tzedem." This was the sin of the storm. The loy hishchisu Yosef did not do anything more than this. Gal ga'oin, return to loymar, his go'er, ba'abur, ha'soiva, v'ha'shalva, shahoyullah. They became arrogant due to the soiva, v'ha'shalva. Their success, their satisfaction, and their tranquility. V'loyach ziku yad onimus is mechsoro. They did not have a chesed fund to do good with those that are less fortunate. It is incumbent upon a successful person to give away from his wealth the people that are less fortunate. The pasuk says, "Ki lo yechdal evyoin mikerev haaretz." This is a nevuah. It's a nevuah. People always blame the poor. They blame the poor. Why don't you help yourself? Why don't you get a job? Why don't you go do something? Why should you be a burden on society and welfare and food stamps and so all of these other things? Ein hachinami. There's no question. There's truth to it. But the truth does not go to the nth degree. Because there comes a certain point in time where people, they just can't help themselves. It's whatever it is. And the Torah acknowledges this as a reality. Ki lo yechdal evyoin mikerev aretz. If the world would have an economy of socialism or communism, would that not wipe out an evyoin? It would, right? Isn't that what socialism and communism, and what?
Of course it would.
Why not? If you have a real socialist world, there's no such thing as an evyon. Isn't that what it's all about? There's no redistribution of wealth. What?
Only in theory.
So the answer is it's not. The answer is it's not a Torah hashkafa. Socialism, communism is not a Torah dika hashkafa. For one very darshan from today to tomorrow, my father was very much into this. My father's from Israel was very much into this. Torah is very clearly a capitalist approach. Mm-hmm. It's very clear. This is the derech of Torah, capitalism, without question. America is on the mark.
Or compassionate capitalism.
Oh, compassion. But that's the danger. That's where the danger lies. When you're a capitalist, so there are going to be people that have and have nots. It is then the duty.
Benevolent dictator.
What?
Benevolent dictator.
Not necessarily. Benevolent dictator, a dictator, is that a capitalist society? If you're a dictator, what is a dictator? I mean, how do you... A dictator doesn't reflect the economy. But the pasuk makes it kilo yechdal evyon mikerev aretz, that automatically rejects socialism, capitalism, and communism because in their structure it doesn't exist in evyon. The only time you have an evyon is if you're a capitalist society, which means there are those that are successful, those that are failures.
And an income gap.
Sodom was such a society; they were successful. And therefore, they did not tolerate anyone that was unsuccessful. They did not believe in this principle. Therefore, they denied them. Okay, let's see the first mitzvot. We did the mitzvot. Let's see the mitzvot again. Inside pasuk memtes. In the mitzvot, he nays zer. It's an olam azil halavah yava in sedayim below yeshkisu yoyse goin. It's an olam yidis really hiskar b'mor hasuva hashalva shayila. For the zika yad ari la says mach. So they did not give the poor what they need. Let's see Rashi pasuk. There is no Rashi pasuk memtes. Let's see the Radak. Radak pasuk memtes says he nays zehayostam achaseich gaon hayila. They were arrogant. Sivas lechem hashalva hashkei hayila. Lama hayila gaon. Why were they arrogant? Because they were satisfied with lechem. These two words go together. Due to the abundance of peace. Sivas, shame, a noun, a toyer, or an adjective. Bepeles, in the same grammatical form of shiflas koima, v'tam hayula el v'shalvas hashked. Okay, so it's related to the other word there before. Now the medrash here says. Let me read you the Medrash. Beautiful Medrash. This is a Tosafta. We'll conclude with this. Amu Sedom, Hol since Umazon Yotzei Me'aretz. Sedom, since we are successful, we produce food. Kesev Zov Yotzei Me'aretzenu, and gold and silver goes forth from our land.
We have a large gross national product. Avonim
Toivos Umargolios Yotzos Me'aretzenu. Ein onu tzrichim sheyavo bnei adam etzleinu. We should close the borders. Okay, the borders are shut. No immigration. Mamish nageha and yoni diyoma. No immigration. Shein bon oleinu elo lechasreinu. Any refugee, any immigrant, is going to draw from the wealth of the country. That's a reality. You can't deny that. Tax dollars are going to feed the poor. That's just the way it is. So namoid, let us stand up. Unishakach es haregel mi beinoisenu. Basically, make sure a living person who's not a citizen of this country does not step foot into this land. The borders are shut. Amar lohem hakadosh baruch hu. People have been quoting this chazan the last few weeks. I haven't read the article, but I've seen titles on the article about this.
Now,
security is security. There's no question.
There are other countries which are closed societies where you cannot, an outsider cannot
come in. Amar lohen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'toivo sheshbati lohem, atem mevakshim leshakach es regel mi beino seichem. After I've been so kind to you, you want to deny the good that I've given to you from letting other unfortunate people also benefit from this denying? Ani, you know what? Ani ashakach mida k'neged mida, you will not exist. That you're closing the boundaries so other people should not enter into the country, and only you should be in this country? So mida k'neged mida, you will also not be in this country. You will be removed from this country. Ashakach es haregel mi b'neichem, v'ashakach eschem min ha'olam. So this pasuk of this chazal is saying something very, very clear. It's an amazing halacha. This is an instruction to a government that if you have surplus If you have money, it is your duty. It is your duty to enable other people to benefit from your bracha. It's incredible. It's an incredible chazal. Logically, logically maybe they're right. You know, why we work very hard, or some of us work very hard, and you make money and you have tax dollars to pay. So you should, if we don't give foreign aid, if we don't let people come into this country, so then we can pave the streets with gold. We can have all these other super benefits. Charity starts at home, right? That's really been abused. No, that's mamish maisis sidom. If there is surplus, the pasuk here says, what?
We don't have any surplus.
So it's yes and no. We have to put a man on Mars. We have how many billions of dollars? How many billions of dollars do they have? They put a lot allocated in the budget to Mars. Something like $20 billion? Something like that? That's a lot of money. Okay.
Maybe you should put the immigrants in
Mars. Okay. There's money for some things. There's money for... Don't ask me. I don't know anything about politics. But it's very, very interesting. It's very interesting is that it is a duty of a wealthy country to be mahane people that are poor. That are poor. Kilo yechtal evim mekeres. Now, of course, don't get me wrong.
You deal with citizens.
Don't get me wrong. You have security. Look what happened yesterday in London. Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. You have security threats. 100%. Lock the doors. Lock the doors. It's just a matter of the way you express it, the way you phrase it. The way, you know, obviously there are many things which have to be.
But it has to be letting people in. Depends on how much the economy can absorb.
I'm not arguing with you.
You can't let 10 million people in if the economy can't absorb.
100%. I'm not arguing with you. 100% right. This is for the economists. This is for the people in government, the people who spend their whole lives delving into these matters. But just as a blanket principle of no, there is no, we have wealth, there is success, there is wealth, and none of this is going to be given over to poor people, unfortunate people in the world, is Mises Sidom.
That's the
statement
in Pirkei
Avos.
What is the midas
sedom? Shali, shali v'shalach shali. But there's another principle of yesham. Some say shali, shali v'shalach shalach. That's another. The yesham. That's also ma'ase. That's the mission. The yesham. That's also called ma'ase sedom. Shali, shali v'shalach shalach. That's also ma'ase sedom. So it is something which is very, it's a Jewish way. Jews typically have been Democrats. I mean, until now, have been Democrats. All of the social benefits that came into this country were instituted by Democrats. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
It's not true.
What? No?
It's not true.
No? Okay, all right.
The Republicans had a greater amount of votes, percentage-wise, than the Democrats.
But the president, the president in office, the initiation of the social programs,
they didn't vote. Percentage-wise.
But the administration was still an administration of
the
Democrats.
The ideology wasn't so extremely polarized.
The Jews worshipped Roosevelt.
Jews were always Democrats. Today, obviously, Democrat has become a different breed. Oh, yes. Will give a shear on that.
We know that the Democratic voters give only 3% of their money to charity, and Republican voters give 7%.
That's right.
Fascinating. And I said, it's a different world today. All right. Okay. We'll stop over here with Pasid.
Democrats are generous with other people.